All right, Malachi chapter number 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Bible says, yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So we've been studying the husband's role and the duty of the husband, the pattern for the husband. We're going to continue on that. And I want to say to the wives that anything that God deals with your heart on throughout this, go ahead and take it and do something with it. But I'm going to be getting into some the wives later, but we're dealing with the husbands. The husband is to be completed by his wife. We've already gone over that. He's to be his wife's leader. He's to be his wife's example. He is to be his wife's protector. And all those things, husbands, we're supposed to be those things to our wife. All right? And there might be some wives that are sitting here and saying, well, my husband doesn't do all these things. You need to pray for him. Amen? And it's going to be awkward for him to sit here and listen to the teaching if he's not doing them, but you need to pray for him. But that doesn't mean you don't do what you're supposed to do. And when we get to the wives, if you say, well, my wife's not doing those things that you're teaching or that the Word of God teaches, you still do what you're supposed to do to be right with God. You still have to stay right with God and keep your heart right with Him. So what I want to look at tonight just for a few minutes, and I won't be long because we're going to be cleaning afterwards, and I'm trying to go kind of slow through here and not get too far ahead of myself. But number 5 in the study, the husband is to be the companion of his wife. The husband is to be the companion of his wife. We read that here in verse number 14. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And so tonight I want to talk just a few minutes on the husband is to be the companion of his wife. The husband should be his wife's best friend. That's how it should be. She should be able to say with confidence, my husband is my best friend. I can go to him with anything. I can tell him anything. I can trust him. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but she ought to be able to do all those things. This does not mean that the wife cannot have friends. It doesn't mean that you're the only one that she's ever allowed to talk to. It doesn't mean that, you know, you got her pinned up and she can't talk to nobody or do nothing and all those kind of things. Now, husbands, we talked about being the protector, which means you know who her friends are and what kind of influence is coming into your house. And that's your responsibility as a husband. But you're supposed to be her friend. There shouldn't be a reason for her to have to go out and find a best friend, a companion, somebody that she can talk to. And now there might be some people that she confides in and she's friends with, and there's nothing wrong with that. But wives, your husband ought to be number one friend. He ought to be the one at the top of the list. And if you can't talk to him and you can't trust him, then there's a lot of things you need to pray and talk to him about and pray about it. Amen. Because it ought to be that he is the number one friend. And she might have others and might things, but I've seen marriages before and I've seen wives that they have friends and their husband is like on the bottom of the list as far as any kind of companionship or friendship. And she might tell her friends things and confide in them, but she never tells her husband. And that's not a healthy relationship. That's not a healthy marriage. They ought to be able to talk to one to another. You ought to be able to talk to him just like he's the best friend in the world. And again, you might say, well, he doesn't have that kind of relationship with me, or he's not right with God, or whatever the case might be. And I understand that. I'm trying to deal with the husbands and talk to them. And you say, well, if my husband doesn't or whatever, like I said, you pray for him. You still have to do right, but you pray for him. But husbands, we ought to be in a position in our home and in our marriage and our family that we can be her best friend, that she can tell us anything and that she can come to us. You realize, husbands, we've talked about this over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it is. we might go over there here in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 5, does it not say that our example of how we're supposed to treat our wife and love our wife is who? It's Jesus Christ. Man, you can't, I mean, her example is the church to Christ. And sometimes that relationship isn't like it ought to be. But man, we have a tall order, husbands, that Jesus Christ is our example. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. The husband is to be the companion of his wife. And it's sad, but I've seen a lot of marriages and a lot of homes, and I've, you know, been in some churches, been worked in several places, and I've talked to people and met with them and counseled, and sometimes they'll just talk to you and share things with you, and husbands and wives will run down their spouse to everybody they can come across. They'll run it, but they're not willing to sit down and talk to their spouse about whatever it is they're going through. And that's not a healthy relationship. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. If you're there, say amen. I got to get there myself. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And who's that friend? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if he's our example, and he's the one, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence in our life. Colossians 1:18 says that he's the head. He ought to have the preeminence in our life. Ephesians 5:33 talks about the husband and wife relationship, comparing it to Jesus Christ in the church. And if he is our example and he's supposed to have the preeminence, then husband, you ought to have the preeminence and the companionship and friendship of your wife. You ought to have the preeminence in that situation. Just as Christ must have the preeminence in our life, the husband should have the human preeminence in his life as a married man. Our text verse back there in Malachi states that the spouse, the man is supposed to have that companionship, but it says the wife of thy covenant. When you got married, you made a covenant with her. You made a covenant with her, to be with her, to be her friend, for sick, for poor, for all those things. Those are things that you're supposed to come together and say, hey, this is what I'm going to be to you. And we talked about it last week, some of the causes of depression in some ladies when it comes to a marriage is the fact that the man did all kind of things to win her over. Then after they get married, she's no longer his best friend. Now, she was when he was trying to catch her. Amen. All of his buddies were like, man, what are you doing on the phone again? All right. He couldn't do nothing. He couldn't go nowhere, couldn't talk to nobody because he was talking to her. And it was all about her and wanting to tell her everything and wanting to share everything with her and wanting to share experiences with her and wanting to do things and spend time with her. And then they get married and all of a sudden that ends. And it might take a year, might take a little while, who knows? Something that is so very precious to me, and I think we have some examples of it even here in our church, are some couples that have been married a long time, but they're still best friends. And you can tell it, man, they're best friends. And man, that is precious. And I've seen some older couples in my life that are good, godly examples of what a marriage ought to be. And you say, is it perfect? Sometimes I wonder if it is, because it looks like it's perfect marriage. You know, we all know it's not if there's flesh involved, but man, they've been together forever, but they still do things for each other. And they love each other. They don't want to be apart from each other. They enjoy each other's companionship. And that's how a marriage ought to be. And you say, well, mine's not that way. Well, that's why we're going over this stuff, man. Work on it. Pray about it. Try to get God to help you with it. And she ought to be your best friend. Let me ask you this question tonight. Turn over to the book of Song of Solomon. Book of Song of Solomon. Now, if you want a good book, a manual on marriage, the book of Song of Solomon is a good manual on marriage. Song of Solomon chapter 5. You know, the world has a way. The world has a million books on marriage. But there's only one that you need, and this is one right here. Amen. It covers everything. It covers the romantic side of it, the friendship, the companion, everything. It covers it. And the Book of Song of Solomon's got a lot of things in it. That's a good manual on marriage about a husband and a wife, their love for each other, their compassion for each other. And I want to ask you this question before I read this verse. How many wives, if we were to take a poll tonight of those that are in this room, and I know that there might be some watching online eventually, I don't know, but I'm just talking to the people in here. If we were to ask all the wives in here, and you don't have to answer in front of your husband, whatever, just ask them, how many of you honestly can say, my husband is the best friend that I have? How many can say, he's the best friend I have? He is my friend in every sense of the word friend. All right. Now, it's great if you can answer that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And some men might think, well, yeah, I'm her best friend. But she's like, no, I can't go to him with all of my problems. I can't go to him with all of my trouble. I can't go to him when I'm stressed out. I can't go to him and talk to him whenever I want to. Well, why can't you go to him? Because I feel like I'm bothering him. Amen? I feel like I'm bothering him. A best friend. Look what the Bible says here. This is a bride speaking about the bridegroom. A bride talking about her groom. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse number 16. I encourage you, the couples in here, read this. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse number 16. His mouth is so sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Look what she says about her husband. This is my beloved, and this is my what? Friend. Who's she talking to? The daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, ye daughters of Jerusalem. She's saying, hey, he's my friend. He is my beloved. And I wonder tonight if the wives could say that about their husbands. Song of Solomon, again, it's a great book to go through, you know, for a married couple. But I just wrote down a few things about a friend, a best friend, somebody that you would call your best friend. And there's somebody that you can go to at any time with any problem, with any situation, with any trouble, and you can talk to them during that time. And the question is, can your wife do that with you? Can she trust you? It's somebody that you can joke with and laugh with, but never ridicule. It's somebody that you can love and you can listen. Sometimes that's all she needs is a friend and a companion to listen and not give your opinion. Sometimes she just needs you to listen. Sometimes she just needs somebody to talk to you. Say, you know, why is it that some women, and I'm not saying it's right because it's not. Because ladies, if your husband's sorry, you married him and you need to pray that God fixes him or kills him, one of the two, something. But you married him, okay? But what I'm saying tonight, and I'm telling you, God can fix anything. Yeah. I hope you know that. He can. There's some people that don't want to be fixed, though. Yeah. And God will take care of it. There's some people that do not want to be fixed. You say, what do I do? You just have to trust God. And sometimes it doesn't work out. That's just the truth. But still trust God. God can still take care of you. He can take care of your family. But some wives just need somebody to listen to. And, you know, there's a lot of women that end up, and ladies, that they're in a marriage where they don't have companionship in the home. They can't go to their husband and talk to him because every time they do, they're bothering him. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't have time for them. He's too busy with all of his friends. He's too busy doing all these other kind of things. And so she can't go and talk to him. She doesn't feel like she can. So she gets on social media, or she gets on the internet, or she gets, and guess what, guys? Whether you like it or not, whether it's right or wrong, and it's not right, she's going to find somebody that'll do nothing but listen to her. And if she's out in the workforce, there'll be somebody out in the workforce that'll just listen. That's all she wants. And the next thing you know, you're like, man, what happened to that couple? Well, she ran off with somebody at work, or she met somebody on the internet, or met them on Facebook and moved on. And we talk about how bad of a person she was. And I'm not saying it's right. Don't get me wrong. It's not right. But you get to looking into that thing, and she didn't have a friend at home. She had nobody she could talk to. She had nobody she could confide in. She had nobody that she can talk to that would just listen to her, that does whatever. A best friend will do whatever it takes to help, to try to help, to be there for them. If some men and women were to treat their friends like they do their spouse, their husband or wife, they probably wouldn't have very many friends, and they wouldn't have them long, because some friends wouldn't put up with it. They're not going to put up with that, and we shouldn't treat our wives that way. We ought to be in such a position as a husband to where we can be her best friend. We can have that relationship with her where she trusts us. And the book of Proverbs chapter 31, we're not dealing with the wives right now. That's why I'm just dealing with the husband. You need to be somebody that she can be best friends with. But later on in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, when we deal with the wives, the Bible says that her husband's heart trusteth with her. So she needs to make sure she's in a position where her husband trusts her to be able to talk to her and to be her friend. But we're not dealing with the wives right now. That's later. But husband, we want to be in a place. We want to be in a place where our wives can say, he's my best friend. You said, man, I would love for my wife to make the comment that this bride did in Song of Solomon. Well, if you want to do that, we already read the verse over there in Proverbs where it says that if a man has friends, he must show himself what? Friendly. You want your wife to say, you're my best friend? You want a friend in her? Show yourself friendly. Where was that? Proverbs chapter 18. Let me go back over here. I got two verses here, and I don't remember which one's which. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born of adversity. Again, a friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 18, verse 24. I believe that's the one we already read. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Husbands, ask yourselves this question. Am I a true friend to my wife? Am I a companion? Am I a real companion? Somebody that she can trust in? Now, she might be going down the list in her head, but you need to be going down in your head as well. Is it someone she can confide in? Am I somebody that she can talk to? Now, let me say this. Sometimes she don't want to talk. Amen? Sometimes you walk in and say, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. And you need to, the Bible says, I forget where it is. Let me see where I got it written down. 1 Peter 3:7, dwell with them according to knowledge. Know when to walk back out of the room and come back in later. Amen? Those are just things you learn. Dwell with them according to knowledge. But when she's ready to talk, you need to be ready to talk to her. Is it somebody that she can confide in? Can she trust you? Can she trust you to tell you things that you're not going to go tell other people and tell your friends and tell church and tell? And the same thing goes with the wives on some of this stuff. But again, I'm dealing with the husbands. Keep reminding myself of that, trying to stay on course here. The same thing goes. But she needs to be able to trust you. Does she know that you love her at all times? Does she see and do you show that you love her and not just words? But you show her, hey, I'm your friend. I'm your companion. If the answer is no to any of these questions, then your wife is going to have a shallow marriage. There's not a lot there other than staying home, cleaning, cooking, doing whatever. If she doesn't have a companion and somebody that she can look forward to coming home and she can look forward to spending time with, a lot of times that ends up in just a bad marriage, and they might stay together like that forever. I don't know, but man, husbands, we're dealing with the husbands and the God's divine pattern for us. We need to be our wife's companion. We need to get to the point where in the book of Solomon, she can say, he's my friend. And I want to be with him, and I want to spend time with him, and I want to talk to him, and I want to confide in him, and I want to trust him. And I've heard this said before. Me and my wife have sat down with ladies before who'd made the comments, I wish I could tell my husband this. And you know, I'll try to give her godly wisdom and say, hey, you need to talk to him about it. You need to share this with your husband. But sometimes they don't feel like they can. And so, husbands, we need to make sure that we're in a place spiritually and physically and mentally, emotionally, where we can be our wife's companion. Because God has given us a high responsibility and a high task. And again, let me finish with this. Who is the friend that sticketh closer than any brother? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's our example. And I'm very thankful that whenever I go to him, I can talk to him. Man, when I need him, I can talk to him. He don't always give me the answer that I want. But he's there. And he cares about us. And he is that highest example. And so, husbands, we're to be the companion of our wives. She needs to be able to say, he is my friend. And Lord willing, next time we meet on this subject, we're going to look at the husband must meet his wife's needs. He's to meet his wife's needs. So let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for being a great God and a great Savior, Lord. I thank you for this manual that you've given us, Lord. I know, Father, that we fall short, and I know I do, Lord, when it comes to some of the areas, Lord, of the home and the marriage, Lord, and my relationship with you. Father, I know that we fall short and don't do like we should sometimes, Father. And Lord, I want to apologize for that, God, but I'm thankful for your mercy and grace. And Lord, I pray for the families of our church, Lord. God, you know I talk to you about them often. The homes, the children, the marriages, Father. And the devil hates it. He hates everything that we're going over. Father, he hates the home, marriage, Father. Lord, you know that, God. And we pray, Father, that you would strengthen our church, Lord, and strengthen the families and homes in our church. Father, we have some here that, Father, their spouse might not come to church or their children might not come. And Father, you know all about that as well, God. And I pray you'd help us to do right, Lord, regardless of what happens, that we do right and serve you, Father, and trust you. Thank you again for being a great God and a great Savior to us, Lord. Bless our time tonight as we clean, prepare for Vacation Bible School. In your name we pray. Amen.